The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is February 23rd, 2016, and we are sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Steven Santangelo, who's a regular here every month, unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. You can contact Steven at primalcreations at AOL.com or on Facebook at STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75. John Wood, good friend of mine. I knew him long before I got into any of this. GrasslandBeef.com. You also might know him as from U.S. Wellness Meats. Loaded with CLA, omega-3s, grass-fed, grass-finished, and he also has grass-fed lamb, bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. PlanAYearOfWorkouts.com, that's a workout logbook for your success. That's our friend Jason Fulner's company. You can also go out to Amazon Prime and get it for $5, no shipping. I have one. Guy's a Marine. It's organized. So if you want something to write in and track your progress, go out and check that out. StrongerGrip.com, that's our good friend Ryan Pitts here. Ryan's been in business for 10 years. He's made gear for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling, and you've seen his trophies on ESPN. They've also been featured in Men's Health magazine, and he's made custom hammers for Mick Dodge and thousands of other people training. And that goes right into our contest. If you've seen the beautiful sledgehammer Ryan built for me and sent here, it's a 25-pound hammer. You can load the handle 15 pounds a shot. It holds 83 pounds total. It's a beast, but is by far the smoothest handle hammer I've ever used in my life. And we've got more and more video of it coming. Now, this is what you got to do to win this hammer. It's a $350 hammer. Have it. Have any entry. I don't care what you lift. We don't care. Anything you like, you feel is strong, send it. What we want you to do is upload it to YouTube. And on the subject line, type in FBC and Stronger Grip with a dash and what it is. And you can go down below in the box and explain more about it. And make sure you put in your email address. If you don't and you win, we have no way to get a hold of you. So that means we go to the next person. It doesn't matter if you do shows with me or not. You're welcome to get in. We want everybody to get in and win this beast of a hammer. Also, too, if you win, you come on a three-way call on Motivation and Muscle with Ryan and myself. So get at it. It's going to be fun. Remember, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, it all ends. 8xclub.com. 8x adjustable exercise clubs and maces. These are competition maces and clubs for the AKA Vintage Strength Games, and he's a proud sponsor of Motivation and Muscle. Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle, that's out on Fiorello Barbell Co. That's a free ebook. Download it, commit, and take some action in your life. And the two biggest products I have to date are Strength Times Power Equals Success and the Winner's Circle. Strength Times Power is obviously shot in HD. Dennis demonstrates everything. He lost 43 pounds off this workout. And this is something you can substitute. It goes in and out. I use it for everything. But that was the main thing we used. And basically, all I can tell you is you go out and take a look at it. It's something that you need to look at. No armchair quarterbacks here, man. We do everything. And the Winner's Circle is all in audio. Don't forget this. 12 audios. And it's everything that I've done from beginning to where I am. Well, at last notice, we're doing a million other things. So there will be more coming down the road. But if you like stuff like iron boots, power rack training, sandbags, stone lifting, how to really build arms the right way, et cetera, if you like what we talk about here, it's all me on it. So get involved. So go out to Fiorello Barbell Co. for that. And all I can tell you is this. You know, you got to want to go out and change your life, and both of these will do it, and I stand behind everything. You can get a hold of me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com, and I'd be more than happy to work with you. Last but not least, obviously, sponsorship. This is the last month. It's $100. It goes up to $500 starting in March. We do 5 to 15 shows, but I average 12 shows a week. I don't know anybody else doing that. We want this really bad, I'm telling you. And $30 of that right now with the cold weather goes to muscular dystrophy. And as everybody knows, my brother Jimmy passed away from that miserable disease many years ago. Got a common cold that turned into pneumonia, and he passed away, and we lost him. So FBC and M&M are both dedicated to Jimmy, and you can really help some kids because I'm telling you right now, a common cold is deadly for them. So join our millions of listeners, be part of my family, and away we go. Hey, today we've got a big surprise. I've been talking to a lot of people about Zach Evanish for a long time, and I've been very aware of him, and I've wanted to get him on the show. Well, our good friend Frank DeMeo, who owns the Cave down in Sarasota, sent me an email or a Facebook message last week and said, "I know I talked to Zach, and I know a way you get a hold of him, and would you like to have him on the show?" I said, "Absolutely." So we got him, and I want to give you a little bit about Zach. Zach is a big-time figure in strength in the conditioning industry. He founded the Underground Strength Gym and created the Underground Strength Coach Certification. You know what I like about, though? This is where I identify with this guy totally. He started his gym right out of his parents' garage. That's where I still am. And it's you might not be able to get a thumbtack in there now. There's so much in there. And these are the type of people I want on this show. This is character. Zach, welcome to the show, brother. And obviously, everyone's going to get to know you who don't know you today. And give us a little bio on yourself, and we'll get started, sir.
Cool. Well, thanks for having me on the show. And also, like you said, Eric, our friend, our mutual friend, Frank DeMeo, put us in touch. And, that's it. I mean, I started I was thinking about this while I was driving on the way back home this morning, how fast time goes. So it started in my parents' garage over the summer when I was a teacher, and I had just finished my fourth year teaching, and I had just had ACL surgery, ACL repair, and the summer before, I had a job where I worked at a old school shot and beer joint, and with my surgery, I was like, man, I'm going to need to do something to make money as a teacher. In the summer, I was a new teacher. I didn't have any money. I said, right. I want to do something with my skills, with my knowledge, with my passion. And even in high school, I was training my friends. Like, I was writing workouts for all these kids. Like, that's what I would do in class instead of paying attention. I'm in with a book, with a sheet of paper in the middle of the book. Looked like I was paying attention, but I was writing down this guy's workout for football, this guy's baseball workout. I was always doing it. And my friends would always want me to meet them at the gym, spot me, train me, coach me, or I want to be in Zach's group when he's training. So it was kind of this natural evolution. I didn't think I would do anything with it. I literally just thought, I'm going to do a little bit of this on the side, a little bit of training people. And back then, I didn't really know what a strength coach was. You know, the common word was your personal trainer. You just train people one-on-one. So I started training one of the kids in the neighborhood. He was a basketball player. And I said, Kurt, if you can help me go pick up this used gym equipment that I saw on eBay. Back in the day, eBay was like a garage sale. It wasn't like, you know, an Amazon the way it is now. Yep. So this Gold's Gym had moved locations, and they had all these photos of what they were selling, and it was like tons of those wide flying Ivanko plates.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, those were amazing, and I used to train at a gym. It shut down, but the gym was all wide flange Ivanko plates, and the guy welded all his equipment. And I was like, those plates were so sweet. They would just rumble when you would squat and bench and deadlift. I went, Kurt borrowed his dad's pickup truck. We drove to a town called Princeton, and it was awesome. The place they were storing it at was on this guy's property. He had like a, not like a farm, but he had like acreage. There was like a big pond in his backyard. There was chickens and goats all over the place. And he had a barn, and in that barn is where he had the all the plates. He had a dip and pull-up bar. What else did I pick up? I remember getting a bunch of plates. I think I picked up maybe an adjustable bench. I can't remember what else, but that was the beginning. And I trained this kid, basketball player, and then I trained another kid that I had coached on the middle school wrestling team because I saw him at the local gym doing like tricep pushdowns with the rope. The kid was like 120 pounds doing like rope pushdowns, cable curls. Yep. And he was getting trained, I think, by his uncle. And I didn't want to be a jerk. But I can't remember if I approached him or I approached his parents. I said, listen, I said, JC is training like a bodybuilder. And that's how I trained. And that's the wrong way to train for wrestling. And I'm training out of my garage now. And this is what you got to do. And it's $5 a workout, I told them. Because that's awesome. How much it would cost to train at that Globo gym for the day. $5. So he started training with me. And I basically would take him through, you know, like a kind of like a golden era bodybuilding style workout. But I would blend it in with the things in my backyard. We had all these stones. So he would stone carry. He would squat the stones, bent over row, clean and press, lunges, just holding all these stones. I even had like smaller stones that you could grip with your hand. And I would have him kind of do like pummeling techniques or just hold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just holding them while he did lunges and shoulder raises and shoulder presses. And then I was rehabbing my knee, so I would ride my bike to the playground, and him and the basketball player would jog as I rode my bike. I'd get them there. I'd have them climb the monkey bars. I'd have them climb up the swing, the poles of the swing sets and do pull-ups, and then they'd military press the picnic tables. And I remember it was like a real run down crappy playground. I remember seeing like a bunch of kids smoking cigarettes while we were just like tearing it up. And what started as this, what I was going to, you know, utilize as kind of a summer side project and maybe a little bit during the year, it just grew. And then the basketball player's brother started training with me. And then another kid in the neighborhood started training. He was on like a pickup flag football team. And then I started getting like these small groups of guys training together. And it evolved from there into when we're married, but at the time my fiance and I, we were looking for houses, and secretly in my mind, I was like, I don't care what this house looks like. I just want a car garage.
So, absolutely.
I know. You know, the guys listening are probably laughing like you are. They're like, totally get that. They get that.
Yep. Totally.
So the first house we bought was very run down. It took a year to work and rebuild. But the first thing my wife's uncles did was they sheetrocked the two-car garage. We painted it, and I picked up some used equipment. From back then, Craigslist wasn't around, so it was eBay or newspaper classified ads. And I also picked up my first half rack from Sorenex. And man, I actually traded it probably 5 years ago. A guy I knew used to refurbish gyms. He'd go in, gyms were closing down. He'd pick up their gym equipment. And then he cleaned out Princeton University's old weight room. So he said, Zach, I got a squat rack from Sorenex. Do you want it? Because he would refurbish places like Retro Fitness, Planet Fitness. He couldn't give those things away. So he gave me I don't know how what weights I have. I think I've got like 25 up to 100 pounds in those York, not the round heads, but the tablets.
Right. Right.
So he would give me that stuff. So I gave him, when he gave me the bigger squat rack from Sornix, I gave him the first one I bought. And man, listen, I heard you mention Sornix as a sponsor. Sornix, that, like, they custom painted it for me. It was like this, bronze gold color. It was just sick. And things I did to build that garage gym, I remember they couldn't deliver to a house because it had to be put down on the lift gate. So my dad owned
good old pallet.
The old pallet. It was delivered to Irvington. My buddy and I went up there with his truck, drove it back, put it together. As soon as we put it together, we were like, we got to squat right now.
Hell yeah, man.
So,
absolutely.
You know, like, I really miss those days because now, you know, I have two locations. Yes, it is a business, but man, like, there was such a freedom I had when I was just a when I was a teacher and I was just kind of doing the coaching as like this extra thing. And I had such autonomy to, I was turning down and turning away so many people, and I would put them through the ringer on their first workout. I mean, it was a legitimate, you know, I ran it like Fight Club. When I saw Fight Club and how the guy had to stand on the porch, like, it was exactly like that. And I always, always say that I'm going to go back to those days of being a lot more selective. And what's so crazy is, like, I'm always sometimes amazed with, like, I train athletes, and sometimes I still have kids there, and it's like, dude, how are you 15, but the 12-year-olds here are lifting more than you, or they're more intense. Like, I have a hard time relating excuse me for my throat. I have a hard time relating to a lack of passion, a lack of
I'm with you.
It makes me nuts. It frustrates me.
Join the club. And you and I parallel quite a bit because I have so much equipment here. I used to go to a club in Colony called the Steel Pier, and it was brutal, man. I mean, at one time. And then it was bought up by a bunch of yo-yos that didn't know anything. And slowly but surely, they ran into the ground and ran us out of there.
Yep.
And what happened was I met one of the girls that used to work there years ago, and she said, you know, the guy's name was Camarado. He was wealthy as hell. And she said, he wants to sell the equipment in there. I was like, holy God. So I got his number. I called him. I met him. I bought my favorite power rack from out of there. I got to have 10,000 pounds of plates, and most of them all got the hub in them, you know, like the old school stuff. So, you know, you got your grip work with your 45-pound plate. I bought 100-pound plates. You know, we bought a ton of stuff. I mean, dumbbells, you name it. And I still got everything back there, and I love, that's my main rack. I've got three power racks. I only got two up. One that we built two out there, Joe Peters, who was one hell of a lifter. He was a police officer in Schenectady for years. He was the chief, and he was very involved back in the 60s with Hoffman, and you know, he had everything York in his house. And I always liked that thin rack, the very narrow one you'd see Bill March in. And I took all the measurements, and we built one like that, but we built this thing out of steel that, I mean, you could probably hit it with a tank and it wouldn't bend it. I mean, it's insane. So, and I've got an original York, a big rack out there. But I've got, like I told Zach offline, you don't know how I've got everything in there. I got everything, and I'm not a machine guy, but I always admired the Nautilus pullover. I've got one of the original ones.
That's sweet.
It's sick. This thing is sick. I've got the original four-way neck, and I've got two other things. I bought the seated press, and it's got where you can do the flies on it. I don't really use it. I'll probably get rid of a lot. But the thing that I wanted, it was only because I had read about him so much, and I used to watch those old NFL films. It had it in the old Perry Raider Ironmans, and in the back, Dick Butkus doing the trap machine. And I was like, the traps on them were nasty as hell. I said, I got to find one, man. Yeah. I looked everywhere. I found one, dude. It's out in my yard. But the whole thing is, you know, when I tore the bicep in Iceland in 8, I don't use it now too much because mainly you got to, you know, you got to put your forearms with your palms up between the two pads. I don't like the stretch it has on the biceps, so I don't use it much anymore. But, man, that was one mean-ass machine, and you would get traps off that. But I've just got tons of stuff out there, and I love it. It's just, you know, globe dump, you name it. It's all out there, and it's a lot of fun. And I know exactly what you're talking about because when we went to the Steel Pier and got everything, we loaded two full-size pickup trucks with stuff, man. It was like one of the greatest days of my life, man. Driving back home and that thing's loaded and you're like, where am I going to put all this shit now that I bought? You know what I mean? But it was like, so I have not only stuff in there, I have a 95-foot driveway and a third of it is all stones and tires, man. It looks sick. It's all organized great too, man. You walk up there and you're like, what the hell is this? And on the other side of my garage, we have 6x6s lagged through the frost line and lagged into the cement wall of the garage. And we do Hoosa steel partials where I can load a big logging chain up to the stone, pull that. We've got, I came up with this idea because when I went to Iceland, the Hoosa fellow have a tendency to try to pull forward on you. So I don't like that feeling between the pec and that insertion there. So what I came up with was this idea where we took, my buddy's an electrician, and he's got these form cables. They've got two ends on it that are like loops. So I can stick any dumbbell I want on them. So basically, I can do a dead stop press with the thing, you know, laying on my back. And if I get caught, I can get out of there. And I love the feeling, the way it builds the insertion there with the pec tie. So I kind of came up with that. We got that. So that's kind of a snapshot of what I got here. Is it brutal? Yeah, it's pretty nasty, man. And we're building this weekend. Bud Jeffries, who's on here a lot, he had this. I liked what he did with this. He had it was a little bit bigger than a tractor tire, but I'm going with a tractor tire because I don't want a ton of weight with a tire. And he ran a chain, and he had a stone hooked into it. And the idea was to be able to pick the stone up on its sides and pull this thing, you know, obviously with the chain taut and the tire behind you. So I really like this, and when I had him on last week, I was telling him what I'm going to do, and we're going to do it where we're going to drill the stones out, and we're going to lag a bolt right through this thing with a little epoxy in them. So we're going to probably do five stones like that, run a 10-foot really rusty, ugly chain, you know, drill through the tire with another bolt so everything is removable, and we're going to be trying that this Saturday. So, you know, we're always up for something to try, and that's what we like. But let me ask you this. This is the greatest thing because, I mean, you're coming from an area which I love, that starting point. You don't have much. You know, you're going out and buying some equipment. And you get this homemade stuff. I love all that kind of stuff. What today? I mean, today's a whole different thing out there. And a lot of the athletes are a lot different now. We'll get into that too. But what do you think, like, from today, if you walked in somewhere and then you took a time capsule back to you, what's changed, Zach? Well, I mean,
changed in the way I coach or train?
Well, no, not so much you. Like, if you walked in somewhere and you walked into Zach's place, say, 10, 15 years ago, right? The whole atmospheric thing, I mean, I think gyms, what's left of good gyms, are there aren't many around. But why is it mainly more of people want to make the money? They don't feel there's the people out there that want to get hardcore. What do you see just like the change in that way, if that's clear enough?
Yeah, I think that what's happened through the years. So back when I – even before the house, I mean, or after the house. So my first location is there close to 9 years. Like this June will be 9 years. Now, back then – there just wasn't anybody doing that work. There was Jason Ferrugia, Joe DeFranco, and then you had one Parisi school. There's a couple people kind of here, there, but now I think with this kind of influx and this overabundance of information, parents are, they're educated wrongly. So they're uneducated and they're easily duped. So we get, you know, and just basically people are, what's changed through the years is also the speed of technology. So you're a tech guy, and you know, 5-6 years ago, we weren't, you know, swiping away on a phone every 2 seconds. Now you're at the mercy of, if you don't capture somebody's attention within a couple seconds, you're swiped away. So parents will take their kids to the gym that's closer and cheaper, not necessarily better, but they see sleds, chains, some squat racks and tires, and they think, oh, that's the same. I remember a dad, one of our probably like one of our biggest, you know, believers, because his son started training with us in seventh grade. His son is a college wrestler and at NYU, and one of the best wrestlers in the country for his weight class at Division III. And he said, he told a parent, listen, you know, get your son, whatever son's name is, get him over to Zach's. And he said, you know, the parent told me, I'll just get a tire in my backyard and put a rope around it. You know, they legitimately think that that's what it is. They're so uneducated and they're so blind, they just don't understand. So then the dad told me, he's like, you know, I didn't never told you that, but I tell you now because one of the kids we train pinned that kid. So he goes, I was so happy when he got pinned, and I wanted to ask the mom how that tire with the rope in the backyard is working. So the thing that has changed is it's so easy to open a gym now. Back in the day, buying gym equipment was very expensive. Now with Rogue, it's super cheap. They have all their economy things. Rent is just cheaper than it ever was before. There's just so much more knowledge out there. So people that are not maybe that good at coaching, not that knowledgeable, they could open a gym. There's nothing stopping them. So because it's everywhere, it's like people are into the convenience factor versus the excellence factor. And absolutely, there's, you know, I talked about this a lot. I was interviewed last week on Power Athlete Radio, and I say, you know, strength coaches, the really great ones, the ones that just train athletes, it's not that easy for us because now we're dealing with that. We're also dealing with sport coaches who threaten their kids and say, you train there, you're not playing. You need to be in this weight room 4 days a week, but they're not doing jack shit in the weight room. You know, they're not even half squatting. They're like quarter squatting, and they're sitting around the whole time. There's there. So these kids get cheated out. And also you're right. There's not that many people that, you know, that you could sell on, you know, what is, you know, what your whole podcast is about, the training that we do, the people listening, we work hard. It requires very hard work. It requires dedication, commitment. It requires pain tolerance. So you need to build that mental toughness. And there's a lot of kids that like don't give a crap. They're perfectly happy with not being awesome, you know? And that's why I talk about the human food chain. We can't all be the lion. It just doesn't work that way. And just like there's one gold medal when you are at the strongman comp, or there's one gold medal for the wrestling match tournament, or the football game does not end in a tie. You know, it just there's a winner and a loser, and there's a lot of people that are completely cool with losing. It's like it doesn't bother them.
Well, mediocrity is a funny thing because that's one thing we pummel into the ground here, and it's like you're extraordinary, and that's the way it is. And I go, my brother-in-law is a head coach for a high school team here in Gilderland for football.
And I've
watched it firsthand. You know, I've helped him out getting some strongman stuff for his, you know, for his place. But you know, you get to see firsthand who the guys are gonna, who the ones that are gonna really perform. You know, you watch. I just like watching mannerisms with people because you can tell a lot. Just, you know, you can look in their eyes and see everything. But man, just the way you carry yourself, how do you walk? How do you look at people? How do you speak to people, man? Do you have respect? You know, can you shake someone's hand firmly? Can you look them in the eyes and introduce yourself? People now kind of discount things like that. But for anybody that comes here, there's a certain standard you're going to live by, and if you don't, you leave. That's just a fact of life. It has nothing personal against you, but maybe you can go find that. This is a thing, Zach, that blows me out, and I've had this discussion not only on air but off air, and you hit it right on the head where you got these coaches or whatever you want to call them, or these guys that own gyms, and saying, well, if you go there, you're out of here, all right? Well, this is the same way Mike Gillette and I got in this one day big time. It was like, just because you were good at something, whether you were a bodybuilder, a strongman, MMA, whatever, that doesn't equate to you being a good coach or a person that owns an establishment and is coaching these young athletes, because what they're doing to them, and I've had them come here, they are so nasty to them mentally. Now, there's a fine line you got to walk with people. You don't want them being pansies, but you don't take them and berate them and beat them through the ground, because, see, that's not going to work. That's going to work the other way on you. And what I've seen is some of these kids have been told they suck. They're no good. They're this, that, and the other thing. Yeah. It's like, you know what? You're not only dealing with having to teach them physically how to do things, but you got to try to wipe out those mental scars or that are there and rebuild them in a way that they're going to be productive, they're going to be leaders, and they're going to know how to do things, you know, take responsibility for your actions. And this is the shit I see a lot of kids struggling. And it's not only kids, man. You know, you get a 40-year-old male or female, and you know they probably got a lot of baggage on them. You know, no matter what it is, whether it's divorce, kids' problems, you know, job loss, anything, and you're constantly dealing with that turmoil. And I find, especially with older adults, is this, they're always trying to find the quick fix, okay, the 90-day program, or something's not right with me mentally, so I'm going to try this for 30 days, and it'll straighten me right out, blah, 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 blah. The thing is, they never look into themselves. They never look internally into themselves and try to change it. They're always looking for an external device somehow to make them what they feel they should be, or what the person that is selling the stuff. I remember listening to Anthony Robbins one day, and it was real interesting. You know, people come to those seminars and buy thousands of dollars of product. And the thing that really caught me was this, because I never even thought of it. He goes, do you know how many people get all that product home and never take it even out of the wrapper? That to me It speaks volumes of what you are. And if that's the way you want to live, fine. If you don't want to be able to bend over and tie your shoes because you're out of breath, or you're a kid that is just getting his face smashed in on the field or wrestling or whatever you're doing, and you're into that mediocrity and you're like, you don't give a shit, well, you know something, maybe the people that are playing around you do, and it'd be nice. Either you pull your pants up and act like a man, or you leave. You go home. So that's kind of like a lot of stuff that I've seen, you know, around me. Obviously, with social media, like we said earlier in the show, it's a blessing and a real curse too.
Those things that you said, though, like coaches who would love to say that can't, they'll get fired. It's just, you know, we're an overprotective, I can't remember somebody. The funny thing about social media is I saw somebody, I can't remember where I saw it, maybe on Facebook, but it was like 2015, the year that everybody's feelings were hurt, like something like that.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful?
It was something like that, and it's, you know, that shit made me laugh. But listen, this is why, what hit me last week is like speaking with those guys at Power Athlete, we're like, all right, so we could complain, but what is the solution? And the solution is just, you know, to keep plugging away, to keep pushing, educating and inspiring, and also just, you know, like is coming to the acceptance of the fact that, look, people are going to have, you know, the ego where they don't want your help. Yep. There's going to be the delusional people. It's the human food chain. Like we just can't have a gym filled with all area, all conference state champ athletes. It's not going to be that way. But what I want to see is effort, intensity, and dedication. And if I look back to, you know, my days of my being 13, 14, lifting at the gym, you had the guys that were the strongest, they were working the hardest, and then you had the guys that were reading the newspaper in between sets, BSing, they were the weak. And it's like it's always been that way, and that's just the way it is. So, you know, I look at it like, you know, what do you want to do? I want to be the predator. I don't want to be the prey. So I always educate my athletes, and give them quick pep talks. I don't like to lecture. But I gave one of the groups a pep talk last week because a kid trains at his high school, and his high school coach always says, "Oh, we do what they do, blah blah blah." Sure you do. I always say, not even on my worst day are you 1% of what I do. And I know that sounds arrogant, but it's the truth.
I don't care.
Yes,
doesn't bother me.
There's a lot of details to everything, as you know. And what I said to the kid is, he's like, "Oh, I just did, like, you know, I did legs or whatever at there." I go, "So did you zert your squat? Because that's what we're doing." "No." "Then you're good to go. And you are good to go." And then he had a plate on each side, and then he wasn't going to go heavier. And the kid that was training with him had also just lifted at school from a different school. And this kid was like 80 pounds when he started. Now he's like 150, but his confidence – yeah. No, I mean, literally, it doesn't sound like 150. You're like, that's not a lot. But think about it. 80 to 150 is almost double his body weight. He's been with us for like 2 years. So he's like, "Come on, mother effer." He's like, "You ain't going to even keep up with me." He's like, "Go home."
Yeah. I love it, man. Yeah, go home.
I loved it.
Bump, girl.
He was telling him to go home, go to a different squat rack. So kid puts another quarter on each side, does his set of two. I go, "You see what you just did?" I go, "You added 50 pounds because I told you to, but if it was up to you, you weren't gonna, and you wouldn't have been tested, you wouldn't have been challenged." I go, "You wouldn't have grown physically or mentally." I go, "Stop making the excuse that you lifted at the high school, because what's wrong with training 2 hours today? Nothing. Like, dude, come on now." So the other kid, like, while they were pushing the dog sled, there's like two poles on each side. The kid was pushing it back to the other side of the turf. Our one kid, the kid who used to be 80 pounds, grabs it and makes him push the sled against him. The kid couldn't budge him. He's like, "You ain't got this. You ain't got it." And it was like, that's what we want. And I know he's being loud. He's being crazy. But you want to know what? He's tough now. Now he's tough. Now I could count on him. And I remember saying this last year. I was the head strength coach for the Lehigh University wrestling team. And I said to them that I awarded shirts. I said, "This shirt for this month goes to the guy that if we had to go to war, who would I want to go to war with?" And I think I was going to pick like two or three guys. And I go, "I'm going to see how you guys wrestle and see how you train. And it's all about who's willing to fight." So the guys took so much pride in winning those shirts. It was really cool. And it's like they got it when I said it that way. I go, "Yes, I understand we're not soldiers. We're not in the military. But you have to fight when you're competing. You have to fight when you're training." And Andy Stumpf said that, you know, he's talking about Navy SEAL training. He's a former SEAL. He goes, "It's such BS to say we're going to rise to the occasion." He goes, "Nobody rises to the occasion. You fall to the level of your preparation."
Absolutely.
Which is like, so every time you kind of, you know, slack in the gym, skip a meal, go to sleep late because you're partying and you make an excuse. Now when you perform, all that stuff adds up. I'm talking, when I tell that to my athletes, I go, "When you show up with your shoelaces untied, boom, that subtracts. That's a subtraction from your perfect score. Oh, your pants are sagging? Subtraction from your perfect score. Skipped breakfast? Subtract again. Skipped the workout last week? I'm going to subtract again." So when a parent emails me saying, you know, I had a parent email me, he's like, "Hey, this guy's a friend of the family. He trains guys in the NFL. And he said that my son needs to do more bending movements." I go, "Okay." I go, "He hasn't been here for 2 weeks." I go, "He's here for a week or two, twice a week. Then he's gone for a week or two. Yep. Then he shows up once. Then there's an excuse." He's like, "Oh, I see." Yes. We're not going to get – you could tell me all day about bending exercises, but your son needs to be here 4 days a week, 3 days a week, and he's not doing it. So we're just not going to be great. He's going to be good. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a lot of people that want to be good. So really, what is the answer? What is the solution? The solution is never to bend to the weak. You never bend to satisfy people who want to just be good enough and weak and whatnot. So what I've learned is that I will go back to, I don't know how or when or how the heck this will evolve, but I will go back to basically having a more private gym, some sort of a barn. And this is why a lot of people don't train athletes anymore. They train adults. They're finding that adults are more serious and consistent, that adults are following through. And they're like, you know, I get them to deadlift and squat and power clean. And they're not training for wrestling or football, but they show up. And I hear you on that, because as a strength coach for athletes, it's super frustrating. But for me, that's what I do. Like, I don't train adults. I just can't do it. Like, I've tried to do it. So I know, I understand business very, very well. I'm very knowledgeable with how to, you know, build a business. But I'm also, from my days of when I was very frustrated as a teacher, I never want to go back to the feeling of doing what I'm not passionate about.
Well, that's what happens to you too, because I you know, something I find even this is a good question for you, because I know I can almost figure out what you're going to say, but we'll see. I have a lot of times problems like coming down to different levels of people, because, you know, when you're out lifting a 400-pound stone for your life, or you've got no heat in the garage and you're front squatting and the bar sticks to your throat and tears your skin off the front of your throat, things like that, because you're not going to take no for an answer. And that's kind of the way I've always done this. I mean, my brother-in-law, before they had all the kids, and he still does once in a while, it always seemed like whenever we were going to walk stones in the winter, it'd be snowing. We get a snowstorm. We'd be walking through, you know, just below the knee with stones, you know, because we figured, hey, if we go down, you throw the thing out in front of you, you're not going to get hurt. It's all powdered snow. But we always train at night. So the backyard be all lit up because I got all the spotlights and the motion lights on. And it's awesome experience, man. And our little joke all the time was like, while everybody's in there staying nice and warm and soft, we're out breaking our ass in snow and whatever is out there. And I think those things all lend a big hand in how your personality and how your strength is going to evolve. Now, I'm not saying go out and be foolish, but I'm very foolish about a lot of things. And that's, you know, and that's,
push the limits.
Well, I like to do that. And I like kids to do that too. I, you know, my father was always a big guy, would be a leader, not a follower. You know, that was drummed into my head from day one. But the thing is, you know from doing elite things and being in the big things, that when you're around people and you're talking about frustration, you know, I get this from a lot of people. It's like, well, not everybody wants to go out and lift stones. I said, I understand that, all right? But they could also set you up and start lifting light sandbags. There's always something you can take, no matter how big it is, and bring it down to anybody's level. I'm a big believer in that. You don't have to lift a 300-pound stone. Lift, you know, maybe we get you starting right out with an 80-pound sandbag or a 50-pound sandbag. This is how I did it with Alex here. He just turned 15, all right? Now, he's been here 6 months. He's up from 143 to 160. Big kid, 6'1", very lean basketball player. And I started him squatting. He's all done with hoop. I said, I'll wait, and then we'll start squatting, because everything I do, Zach, is pretty much dead stop out of the power rack here because I'm alone. So the squatting, the overhead, obviously deadlifts, we know you can pull from any angle. That's off the floor, et cetera, et cetera. But the point of the matter is, You're trying to come down and work with these athletes and these young kids, and it's like, man, sometimes I just want to take them by the throat, and, you know, it's like, let's get with it, you know, or you got to go home, because, you know, I just can't put up with that kind of stuff. And when you want, you know, you're talking passion and everything, like myself, I love this stuff so much, man. I've been doing it since I've been 10 years old. You know, starting with sand weights, and you know, it evolved into everything, you know, whether it was steel and stones and power racks and all that good, meaty, roughneck shit. I'm not an authority on anything. I've got a lot of knowledge. I constantly love to learn. You know, I'm talking to you today. I love talking to people that are very educated, but been in the trenches and really, you know, really took a beating and still do and beat it back. A lot of people don't get into things like that, and I've got to learn on my end that I can't expect that out of everybody, but I do expect you to show up here and give me everything you got. So that's why now I'm trying to, how do I put it? I'm not going to say tone my shit down, but I'm just kind of like, okay, we'll just see what happens. You know what I mean? Because it's a hard business, man. It's, you know, when you're sitting there writing routines and you're putting your passion into it for somebody else and they just don't kind of measure up, that pisses me off good.
It's easier it's easy. That's why, like, I always say, like, it's easier to do the thing when you're not doing the thing, meaning I can be a business coach, but I never ran a business. I could be a business teacher at a high school, but I don't currently own a business. So I'll talk about articles from Entrepreneur Magazine. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could tell you how to run a gym, but I've never owned a gym, nor do I own one now, right? Like, it makes no sense. So, you know, that's the thing. So anybody who's listening who's a coach, you got to kind of be ready to deal with these multiple personalities and find a way to get this person to do what I call turn the corner, which means they get better, but they're not going to be a killer like we are, right? That's the whole thing. Yep. They're not going to be like us. And we have to just be focused on getting them to make 1 inch of progress versus 1 mile. And it's a tough thing to learn to accept in the beginning, and then you start learning how people are. And, you know, it's tough. The thing that's the toughest for me is, like, I always look at, like, what did I do wrong? Why couldn't I get that kid better? What, you know, why couldn't I change that kid? But I'm learning more and more to just focus on doing my work and not attach myself to what they do or don't do.
I know exactly how you feel, because you put so much into it, and it's like the love of your life. And it's like when someone, you know, I'll say it's disappointment, but you're right. I'm trying to do the same thing too. Is detach yourself from the actual person, train them. Small steps equal big goals. You know, we accomplish things. You get that self-confidence built. And when you got that type of self-confidence, it will lead to success. And the thing is, people are, you know, and we can say this over and over. Life now is instant gratification for everybody. And not everybody, all right? But most people now want it now. And it doesn't matter by what any means, they get it. You know, and that's why you see everybody, you know, what would you rather do, take supplements or train? The majority of people say take supplements if it'll get me big. Well, here's the next thing I love to hear people say. I want to get really big. Well, to get really big, if you can, all right, and I'm talking, you know, big as in lifting, big as in stature, but more than anything, get big in your mind where you offer solutions and help people along the way. Here's the deal. Chances are you're probably not going to get big, all right? Yeah, you know, big, I don't know what you consider big. You know, do you want to be 6'9", like half Thor, and 430? You know, if you're coming in at 5'9", chances are you aren't. Now, am I going to say to you can't? I would never do that, because I'm not that type of guy. If you're going to give me all you got, I'm going to give you all I got, and we're going to push you as far as we can. But here's the deal. It's not 90 days. It's not 1 year. We could be talking multiple years, and if you stay in it long enough, we could be talking decades. So – you know, I try to clarify that with people. I know what you're saying. You know, parents will come in, and, oh, I'll just get a tire and we'll pull it. What a load of shit, all right? We know that, and you got to kind of snicker. But you are running a business, and you got to try to be, obviously, you know, cordial and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you know, have a good life. You know, that's basically what it's going to be. And now when your kid fails and, you know, like you're talking, one gets pinned, well, you see one playing football and they're getting shoved right through the dirt. You know, same way with weightlifting, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's all, you know, when you talk about good people, well, this is what I always believe. Surround yourself with people as good as you, but always have people that are better. Because if you want to get good at something, you got to learn from better. And you got to drop the ego and blah, blah, blah. And I'll make this quick because I know we're on time, but here's something here. I don't know if you ever heard of James Fuller. He's a real nasty grip guy. He's on Facebook, and he lives up in Maine. And he's good friends with Jed. And he was on the show the other night. And I've got an inch dumbbell. I've pulled it off the ground, but I'd like to get it to the shoulder and eventually maybe press it. I don't know. But with this stone lifting and getting ready for everything, I just don't have the time, man, to devote to that, too. So he's like, look, he goes, why don't I come down some Sunday and, you know, we'll work on a few things if you want, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I like doing the thick bars, and hopefully you'll come back on, Zach, because I got a billion things we can talk about. But what I'm saying is this is what I like about our community. I mean, the real ones, all right? There's a guy that doesn't know me from a hole in the wall other than we've had a podcast and we've gone back and forth on Facebook. And like all of these guys, I have an admiration for them because I understand what they're trying to do and how, you know, you want to be an entrepreneur and et cetera, et cetera. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, you got to be able to drop the ego if you got one. And, you know, this guy's better than me in grip stuff. There's no doubt about it. This is his forte. He is a grip guy. And I can't wait to get him down here, man. Because, you know, not only am I going to learn a ton of stuff from him, I'm going to maybe do a few more things I haven't had time to do. And you'll have that influence. And it'll be somebody that it's like, all right, I want to do the best I can for this guy. Now, I'm a guy that's been training for over 25 years. All right. So if I can go and do it and learn from somebody and not get upset about it or give my all, why can't a 14-year-old kid come in, bust his stones as hard as he can and be successful? So I'll leave it at that. Summarize anything you want. Obviously, I want you to give out your website, anything pertinent. Let me give mine, and just hang on the line if you would, please, sir.
Sure. Yeah, I would. I mean, to recap it all, it seems like the theme of every successful person, successful lifter, they're always talking about the consistency factor, the work ethic. There's just no two ways around it. So it's obviously the hard work, the consistency. And then I'm going to add, you know, it's the smart training. So guys that have been in the game, girls that have been in the iron game for a longer time, you got to spend, you know, much more time than you probably want to on mobility, recovery, and that includes the whole lifestyle thing, not just stretching, rolling out, and whatnot. It's nutrition. It's the stress you allow in your life or don't allow in your life. All those things will either make your training better or break them if you don't follow through. So I want to really close out with, you know, it's not enough to just train hard. You got to train smart.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Zach, give out all your info, you know, the websites and stuff like that.
Real simple. Undergroundstrength.tv is the website, and I'm doing my last live certification in March, so that's undergroundstrength.org. After that, I'm just focusing on my gyms and, just putting in my time to building athletes into badasses and doing of my splitting of time between educating coaches and the athletes and this and that. So I really feel like I'm just put on this earth to work with this younger generation. I want to make sure I go all in with my dedication to that. So undergroundstrength.tv, and if they just Google Underground Strength, will come up with tons of stuff, a lot of free stuff.
Okay, sir. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Also, too, Athlete's Choice. Get it at Primal Creations at AOL.com or on Facebook, STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75, GrasslandBeef.com. Don't forget, that's our buddy John Wood. Loaded with CLAs and omega-3s, grass-fed, grass-finished. Jason Fulner's PlanAYourWorkouts.com. It's a workout logbook. The plan for your success. Or you go on Amazon Prime for $5, no shipping for that. StrongerGrip.com, obviously they've been around for 10 years. They make equipment for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling. You've seen their trophies on ESPN. They've been featured in Men's Health magazine and they made custom hammers for Mick Dodge and thousands of, you know, screaming training athletes like all of us. They're awesome. And don't forget, get your best video in to win that big sledgehammer. All you have to do is go out, upload it to YouTube, put on the subject line FBC and StrongerGrip.com, and tell us what it is. Leave your email address, and I hope you win. Get on it. It's a great, great hammer. Also, too, 8xclub.com, 8x adjustable exercise clubs and maces, the competition maces and clubs for the AKA Vintage Strength Games, and they are a proud sponsor of M&M, too. Top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, that's on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Free ebook, download it, and just leave us your email address. Also, too, on FiorelloBarbellCo.com, Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle. Check them out. That's what we were talking about today. You got to commit, man. You got to commit. Also, let me see here. Sponsorship. Last month for $100, come on in, join our family, millions of listeners. Remember, it's all for MDA, $30 of it for flu shots. If you'd like a particular show, if I can twist Zach's arm and get him back, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com, and I'll leave you with all this. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com, we're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a five-star review. That's what everybody has, and I thank them for that. Facebook, Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. Twitter at Fiorello Eric. And I'll leave you with these five things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them words of encouragement. That's what matters, man. You know, give them some good positive outlooks on life. Secondly, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to give somebody a smile or a hello. That might be all they get. And if you're going to go out and lift like I am tonight, go out and bend the iron. Break the iron, throw the iron up, squat it, deadlift it, whatever you like. If you're going to use some stones and pull them, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos the Steel Crusher says in Blood Red, domination. We are domination. We don't follow the path. We'll clear cut it for you. And remember, everything you do, you need to dominate and obliterate everything in your path. And as I always say, no one will ever clip our balls. And as our friend Russell Furr says, who's been with us from the beginning, he said, when I listen to your show, I swear there's testosterone dripping through my speakers. Zach, it's been an honor. Glad you came
on,
brother.
Thanks, guys. Well, thanks to everybody.
Anytime. So, for Zach Evanish, this is Eric Fiorello. We're going to get Zach back on, I promise you. But today, be a steward of strength and don't stand on the side of the road. Go out and make a difference. We'll talk to you soon, everybody, and we got quite a bit more this week to talk about. And tell 100 of your friends, and have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.